بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد Respected brothers and sisters الحمد لله May Allah accept our Salat Eid al-Adha and brothers sisters who are doing the qurbani and sacrificing animals may Allah accept their animals and sacrifice also on the our prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has performed only one hajj in his whole life and that is why in Islam no matter how rich a person can be by the sharia is only one time in his lifetime hajj is compulsory man istata'a ilayhi sabila whoever can afford for the journey of hajj he should go only once in a lifetime that is the real rule of the sharia but those brothers who are wealthy they like to go over and over again some of them go every year which is all nafil optional Faraz is only one. Nevertheless, that was the historical Hajj of our Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the ninth year of the Hijrah. As he conquered Makkah al-Mukarramah, first year in the eighth year after Hijrah, he did not go for Hajj. Hajj was wajib. Hajj was compulsory already. The reason why. And he made the Amir of Hajj, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu went with the groups from Madina Munawwara to Makkah Mukarrama as a leader in Amir of Hajj and he performed the Hajj. Then the next year, in the ninth of Dhul Hijjah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the announcement that whoever wants to perform the Hajj with me should get ready. So alhamdulillah, almost all the Sahaba, according to one riwayat, 124,000 Muhajirin and Ansar combined, they performed the Hajj because this is the lifetime opportunity. And that's what the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in his farewell Hajj, that you won't find me alive next year. He already knew that he's going to depart from this dunya. So whoever heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is performing Hajj, and he took all his wives also with him. So they can also perform the Hajj with Mahram, with husband Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this imagine brothers is very huge crowd, 124,000 is not a joke. And at that time, just imagine, today, alhamdulillah, the Saudi government, we should give them due and praise them for that arrangement they are making for the facility of the Hujjaj and comfort of the Hujjaj. This year, the tent was 5-star. Everyone had mattress and even they didn't have to pick up the, stone, pebbles. That was also arranged. Everyone had his own pouch. With the pebbles in his tent on his bed, that much. And tremendous facility, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward them for them. Something they are doing good, we're not talking about other things. But whatever they do good, we have to praise, we have to appreciate that. Nevertheless, just imagine in those days, there was no roads, there was no vehicles, and how this 124,000 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum must have, spent and there was no tent, no food arrangement, how they would have cooked the food for three times or two times for all this such a big crowd, 124,000. There was scarceness of the water, was not that freely available. Just imagine all those difficulties and hardship compared to today's time. It's so like Hajj in today's time is luxury. You just buy the ticket, just go in first class, within a few hours you are there. Everything, bus is air conditioned, tent is air conditioned, masjid is air conditioned, hotel is air conditioned, nothing to worry. But just imagine those days, there was no air conditioning that day. There was no cold water at that time. There was no proper food and restaurants available. There was no halal chicken at that time. How they were slaughtering only the animals, I mean only the camels, and they used to cook, and how they used to collect the firewood in Mina for such a big crowd, and how they used to prepare the food is amazing. Nevertheless, on the 9th, Yawm al-Arafah, on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has performed, deliver a ceremony, the Wadi Urana, nearby Mount Arafat, Jabal Rahma. And after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm just going to, inshallah, deliver this last farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is very historical and it is very profound. The last advices and nasiha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given to the whole ummah till the Yawm al-Qiyamah. Each and every sentence of this khutbah has very deep meaning. So over and over again, we should read this khutbah and understand the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and try to implement and put in the practice. So inshallah, today I'm just going to translate this Arabic khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is delivered on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. He said, "O people, lend me an attentive ear," meaning listen me very carefully, "for I know not whether after this year I shall ever be amongst you again. This is my last Hajj. Therefore, listen to what I am saying to you very carefully and take these words to those who could not be present here today," meaning we were not there today. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised, whatever today you people are hearing, it is your job, your responsibility, your duty to pass it on to those who are not present today, but they also need these advices. So this is the amana given to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and each and every word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum understood, they memorized, and they pass it on to Tabi'in, then Tabi Tabi'in, and likewise up till today this ceremony is written in the book of Hadith, word by word. He said, "O people, just as you regard this month," meaning month of Dhul Hijjah, "this day, Yawm al-Arafah, this city, the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, as sacred," because month of Dhul Hijjah is sacred, the Yawm al-Arafah is sacred, Muharram, and this city is Muharram and Mukarram. So all, as you regard all these things sacred, so regard the life and property of every Muslim as sacred trust." Meaning, you are not allowed to snatch anybody's property. Today, brother is snatching away the brother's property or sister's property or uncle's. It's happening, you know. So it is haram in Islam. In that sermon, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified that you are not allowed to take away or snatch away anybody's property. Likewise, you are not allowed to kill anybody. In those days, killing was so easy and so widespread in the society. For small things, they just to kill each other. So he said, "From today, the blood of Muslims are haram upon you. You cannot kill anyone." So he said, "Return the goods entrusted to you to their rightful owners." Sometimes when they used to travel, there was no Bank of America or Wells Fargo in those days. And they used to have the gold and silvers, right? So when they used to travel, for example, Basra or Syria, long, long distance, these valuable things and wealth, they used to give it away to someone to whom they trust. "Brother, I'm going for the journey for 2-3 months. This is my valuable items. Please take care of it." So that would like their saving account. And sometimes this brother who was given the trust, who was given the amount to keep it, to protect it, he used to, when he come to back after 2-3 months, he said, "No, you didn't give me anything. There was no witnesses. Who said that you gave it to me? Bring the witness." And he used to take away that wealth. That also was so common. They were untrustworthy. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, "Return those goods entrusted to you to their faithful owners. Hurt no one so that no one may hurt you." Give and take. If you slander somebody, somebody is going to slander you. If you slap someone, someone is going to slap you. So don't hurt anybody so you cannot be hurt by anyone. Remember that you will indeed meet your Lord. No matter what you do, bossing around in this world because of your wealth, because of your power, because of your influence, remember, one day you're going to die. You will be underground. And then you will be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there you have to give the hisab of the entire life. And that He will indeed reckon your deeds, whether good or bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden you to take usury. That is very important point Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted in this Hajjatul Wada ceremony. Today Muslim Ummah involved, indulge in usury. It's widespread. Hardly anyone can claim, I have no transaction of usury at all. I don't know, it's because of the fan of Allah Alam. Can someone off this fan, please? So, and today is so common, we're buying a car on interest. We're buying the house on mortgage, right? So every Muslim, I won't say every Muslim, but most of the majority of the Muslims today, directly or indirectly, involved in usury. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made declare the war against those who are dealing with riba. They prepare. The Allah and His Rasul is declaring war against those who are indulged, involved, doing any kind of usury, any kind of interest. So in this ceremony, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has highlighted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden you to take usury and interest. Therefore, all interest obligation shall henceforth be waived, no more permissible. Your capital, however, is yours to keep. What they used to do, wealthy people used to borrow the money, like interest on loan or mortgage or interest, whatever you call it. So they used to give a certain amount to a poor or needy person, and after 1 year or 6 months, that person has to return with some extra amount. For example, give 100 dirham, he must return 120 dirham. So this 20 dirham extra is loan or is interest or is riba. So Rasulullah says, your capital you can still take away. Meaning if you give $100 somebody loan, you have all the right to get back your $100. That is your halal money. But on top of 100, whatever you are taking, 20%, 5%, 35%, that is the interest. That is the riba. Interest means the increasement of the actual wealth, actual capital. So you are allowed to take back your capital, but whatever is extra on it, that is a riba, that is haram. You will neither inflict nor suffer any inequity. Allah Ta'ala has judged that there shall be no interest, and that all the interest due to Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, radiallahu ta'ala, the Prophet's uncle, shall henceforth be waived. First example, this is the beauty of Islam. If you rule, if you apply any rule, regulation, first start from yourself. If I teach somebody, oh, five times Salat is Faraz, Fajr, Zuhar, Asr, and I don't come for Fajr or Zuhar. What you are saying, my word have no value because my actions are against of my word. So whatever we teach or preach someone, remember you should practice upon it first. Show a practical example. That was a big thing in Makkah society. Riba was so widespread and so common in the society. First time the Sahaba heard, even the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were indulged in usury. It's especially Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was very wealthy person. And he was famous for the loan, lending the loan. People used to come to get the loan from him. So there are hundreds of people owing Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu the loan. First thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared that Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, whoever owing to Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is forgiven. They should not return. He made clear that I am making, you know, usury haram, and started from my own uncle. So comes in the riwayat, because Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was very wealthy, he lost billions of dirham and denarii by this one rule of Sharia. And he did not complain or cry in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah, this is my wealth, this is my earning, and how come you make haram? How you can say they should not return back to me? I earned it. No, not a single word. The moment said, this is the from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ayat is revealed in the Holy Quran, and from today onwards, riba is not permissible. Immediately, Hazrat Abbas say, I don't need. Even if millions of dirham, big amount, I sacrificed for the sake of Allah. That was the, you know, the quality of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he started from his own uncle Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Beware of Satan. The second advice Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given, that beware of the Satan. For the safety of your religion, he has lost all the hope that he will ever be able to lead you astray in big things. Meaning, he will not lead you towards the kufr and shirk. He will not be able to be successful in that regard. But small things, he will still have the upper hand on you. So beware of following him in the small things. Meaning, oh, Zuhr Salat, just do finish your work, you can pray later on. Or Fajr, you just, Azan is just gone, still you got 25 minutes, sleep little bit more. And we get in trap and we sleep. And we only wake up after sunrise. So these are the small things. He is going to interfere, he is going to watch for, he will have upper hand, so be careful in those things. O people, it is true that you have certain rights with regard to your women. Then this is the right of the husband and wife. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted, because in the society of the Makkah, the woman used to regard it as a slave, as a property. Even their own wives, they never used to respect. There was no thought of respecting the woman in the Makkah society, in the whole world. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made clear that there are certain rights by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, and they also have certain rights upon, and you also have certain rights upon them. But they also have rights over you. Meaning, you have the rights upon your wife, and your wife has the rights upon you. Remember that you have taken them as your wives only under the Allah's trust and with His permission. Because when we go to perform the nikah with any strange girl or woman, what we do? We perform the khutbah. And what is the khutbah? We take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on that we are making promise and pledge that I will fulfill the rights of my wife. That is the promise at the time of nikah. How many of you remember? You said, nakahtoha wa qabiltoha. Everybody remember that word? I do. I do is a single word. But it condenses everything from day one until she will die or you die. I do is just single word. It includes shelter, clothing, shopping, all the demands, vacation, everything is included in that one word. Like the seed, just example seed, mango seed or any apple. It's a small thing, but when you put it in the ground, it will come the trunk and branches and leaves and fruit and what and what. But when we purchase that seed, we don't see anything. A small thing, right? Likewise, when the in front of the people and in front of the imam, you say, I do. That I do is very difficult, I do. Lifetime commitment. Then after then few months, they forget, I said, I do. They forget after that. So this was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted, that they have rights upon you and you have taken them. She was a strange woman, na mahram, because of the name of Allah, because of the khutbah, it became halal for you. So remember that. You only became halal and permissible for you with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they abide by your right, then to them belongs the right to be fed and clothed in the kindness. Do treat your women well. Do treat your women, your wives well. I don't know if they are hearing me or not. Do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners. lucky my wife is not there, and committed helpers. And it is your right that they do not make friends with anyone of whom you do not approve. You know, if you don't like somebody, they should not allow him in your absence, as well as never to be unchaste. O people, listen to me in earnest. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say your 5 daily prayers. Fast during the month of Ramadan. And give your wealth in zakat. And perform the hajj if you can afford it. This is 5 pillars of Islam. All mankind is from Adam and Eve. An Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab. Or non-Arab or non-Arab has no superiority over an Arab. Also, white has no superiority over the black, nor a black has any superiority over the white, except by the piety, by the taqwa, and good action. Learn that every Muslim is a brother to every Muslim. Kullu Muslimin ikhwa. And that the Muslims constitute one brotherhood. Ukhuwatul Islam. Nothing shall be legitimate to a Muslim which belongs to a fellow Muslim unless it was given freely and willingly. Do not therefore do injustice to yourselves. Remember, one day you will appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment and answer your deeds. You have to give the answer of your every deed. So beware, do not stray from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in righteousness after I am gone. After my demise, don't go astray. O people, no prophet or apostle will come after me, and no new faith will be born. Reason well. So this is also one of the advice. If anyone claim after me that he is a prophet of Allah, don't believe him. He is a false. Like Ghulam Muhammad Qadiani and so many came after. So Rasulullah already declared this sermon. There is no prophet will come after me. I am the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, O people, and understand words which I convey to you, I leave behind me 2 things. I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you without any guidance. I'm going to leave 2 important things in my absence. Number 1, the Holy Quran. And number 2 is my example, my Sunnah. And if you follow these, you will never go astray. These are the 2 sources of guidance. Kalamullah and Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It will guide you in every avenue, in every aspect of your life. All those who listen to me shall pass on my words to others, and those to others again. That's why this was the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that ballighu anni walau ayatan, ballighu anni walau ayatan. Even you heard from me 1 single sentence, it is your responsibility to pass it on to the others. That's how the Islam reached to us after 1500 years. And maybe the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. Be my witness, O Allah. Over and over again, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, "Be, O Allah, you will be my witness, and I have conveyed your message to your people." Because on the day of Qiyamah, even the Anbiya alayhim salam will have to give their hisab. That I made you prophet, I made you Nabi, did you convey my message to them or not? And Ummat will deny. Some of the Ummat, Bani Israel, they say, no, no one came to us. On the day of Qiyamah, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will deny. So Rasulullah wanted to make sure, yeah, Allahumma fashhad, O Allah, you are my witness. I convey my message to you. That was the last sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand and implement in our daily lives.